the devil's advocates. Never personal, only politics.
About the house run blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady that I lost my job.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest. He is Vegas Joe Sapecki. Hopefully he's half liquored up by now. Joe, appreciate you sticking around on a Friday afternoon, the happier happy hour. Come Monday, it's going to be a happier 5 o'clock happy hour. Because
you'll have a better guest than me. It'll be happier on Monday.
I didn't say that, Joe. I just said more show. Which will make everyone except you happy, because we'll run out of time with you eventually.
I thought we had the special relationship, man. In the old office, you know, you had photos of elected officials stopping by the studio. I was the only individual on that wall of fame who wasn't an elected official. I thought we had something, and now I don't even get invited back for the 10-year anniversary show.
Technically, I see how it is. Joe, I had a picture of you on the Mary Burke campaign bus, and you were the first one to invite me on the bus, and you were throwing the horns, young man. And that picture is still on the wall. It's on the wall at the Shaw, baby. You got to go down to the newly completed studios. I'm going to be there on Monday. I'm going to broadcast from the Shaw, our new studios, our new independent radio station, 540 AM and 101 FM, the Shaw. It's up, it's built. And on the far wall, as you walk in, Joe, you're going to have to turn to your left. There was some damage to the wall, and the damage had been repaired. And yours truly, being the cheap son of a gun he is, I went out there and I painted myself and the entire everything, the new suite, the broadcast studio. I did the painting, stress painting.
And I heard Brian did all the work, but go on.
Well, Brian did all the actual engineering work. I did all the stress painting. But then there was that long wall to the left. And I noted that the gray paint didn't match the prior gray paint, but I ran out of juice on that wall. So then I started looking around and I said, I got a picture of Joe Sapecki that belongs right here. So you're covering a dead spot in the wall, Joe.
Fantastic. I thought maybe you had punched a hole in the wall and I was like obscuring that now.
Not yet. Not yet. That'll come later. But I'll be broadcasting my inaugural broadcast from the from the freshwater coast, from Waukesha.
And let me tell you, not only does the studio sound like it's in great shape, the signal is strong. I've been listening on 540, the AM signal. There's no interference almost all the way to the lake. I mean, I'm less than a quarter mile from the lake. So great coverage. It's coming through great. People need to tell their friends, start listening.
And it is a 24-hour signal. If you just lock 540 AM in your dashboard, you really don't need the other one. Although, you know, if you're out in the Shaw, we do play rock and roll on Saturday nights. That does sound just a little better in FM sound. So, you know, anyways, very excited about our new year and our new endeavors in Waukesha. And Joe, it is strategic in at least some way, shape, or form. My choice to locate studios in Waukesha, A, because that's where there was a station I could buy, but B, my choice to operate as a Waukesha station as opposed to, like, let's call it an urban Milwaukee station. It's a conscious decision. I think that Waukesha and the exurban part of Milwaukee is potentially the biggest growth area for Democrats in the state of Wisconsin. And I already know there are Dems that have been laying the groundwork for years there, knocking on doors, doing a little bit. Joe, I took note of the fact there are 18 legislative districts in that one suburban county. Waukesha County has 18 elected in state governance. Well, that's a lot of races that could be affected.
Totally. I love it. I mean, listen, you're right that Waukesha is an opportunity for Democrats. It's also essential for Democrats as is, right? There are only two counties in the state that produce more Democratic votes than Waukesha County. And they're Milwaukee and Dade.
Well, I got those covered with Devil Radio and 540 AM as well. And Joe,
taking the world by storm.
We are. And our friend Earl Ingram, who follows this fine show, he's doing his last Friday night show because he's moving back to mornings where he was an award-winning host. And he's getting a three-hour gig. And Joe, I'm very excited to say you can pick, if you go on the Devil Radio app, you can pick which station you want to listen to. You could have Earl in the morning if you prefer a little Earl, Or if maybe you're a Stephanie Miller fan, you can choose Stephanie. But Earl's got a three-hour platform. That's a promotion in radio for those that understand such things. So I hope Earl's excited to, you know, launch on Monday morning with Chevy Johnson and others. I know he's got other guests. I think he might have David Crowley as well. But we're excited about that. And, Joe, I got to throw one more out there for you. Joel Clayfish coming to the airwaves. Did you know that Joel Clayfish will be doing a show called Raised in the Shaw? And Joel Clayfish was literally born and raised in Waukesha, Wisconsin. He was 4 years WISN-TV's Waukesha reporter, but he's not going to do any politics. He is a big hunter-fisher dude. In Waukesha County, this might surprise you to know, Joe, Waukesha County has number one for hunting licenses in the state of Wisconsin.
That's interesting. It doesn't surprise. It doesn't knock me over.
You know who told me that? Joel Clayfish. Who is
well, then it must be true.
He's the Midwest host on the fowl life, like birds, you know, of fowl, shooting the pheasants and stuff.
Yeah.
But he is a national host on the Outdoor Channel, and his specialty is cooking up the wild game. And something I did not know, since his wife had cancer, he told me, they don't eat anything other than wild game. He has shot himself.
Wow.
All the meat in the house. He's a provider, if you will. And he's a fine host on Thursday night, 7 o'clock, launching this week. So, you know, I got a little cover fire. I got a Clayfish on the air.
Giving the people what they want, man. You got a little bit of everything.
I do. And we're going to replay that Saturday mornings after our Waukesha This Week show with Don Brown. We're happy with the work he's doing there as well. You know, I'm happy to be in Waukesha. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the airways with you and celebrating 10 years, Joe. And I think, and, you know, my youngest child chastised me. Radio's a dying industry, Dad. Said that to me last night. I'm like, oh, why don't you stick another knife in Dad's ribs?
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily about those not yet old enough to vote. It's about trying to persuade hearts and minds of those, you know, registered voters that might be our target demographic. And Joe, states like Wisconsin, man, I think it is truly a coin flip. And I'm wondering if we look at the current state in history, well, you could anticipate a red wave, perhaps a red wave coming in the midterms. But Joe, I'm optimistic that reality is going to crush this Republican Party. You cannot have a lawless president. You cannot turn your party into a cult and pay no electoral consequences. At least I don't think you can, Joe.
Yeah. I think rumors of the Democratic Party's demise are far overwrought at this point. There's a whole lot of people. There's a whole industry of folks who are here to tell you that the political environment's terrible and, you know, Democrats are going to get swept out of Congress and they're not going to win any races this fall. And that's just not true. Number one, the world as it is today will not be the world as it is in October of this year. And among the things that we know may change the dynamics markedly, right, are a pending international issue if Russia moves on Ukraine. That will change the dynamics of our politics. We know that the Supreme Court is going to rule on abortion legislation in Southern Republican-controlled states. That could dramatically scramble the politics of the moment if the Supreme Court throws out more than 50 years of precedence and decides that big government belongs in the doctor's room with women and their physicians.
And Joe, I'm going to preemptively interrupt you here. What about the January 6th, man? That is the biggest issue. It is. I don't know how we move on, and certainly reproductive health rights, that's a big issue for women and for all people, those that... I love my wife. I love my daughter. They should have reproductive options. But what I would say, Joe, is I don't know how we move on to policy until there is accountability over January 6th and the insurrection thereof. And until this party, the Republican Party, is held accountable, Joe, I don't know how that's not the lead out of every Democrat's mouth. What's your thought?
Well, that's an approach, but you better get more people to buy into it. And there better be the goods with these primetime hearings that the January 6th committee is promising. those of us who consume a lot of news and a lot of media care an awful lot more about things like the sanctity of democracy than people who don't consume more than an hour of news a week. And that doesn't make us any better than them, right? They're probably the smart ones for living their lives and who are most concerned with their future, their family's future, you know, how to care for aging parents, how to put a little bit away for retirement, whether they can afford to take the kids on a trip for spring break this year. And these, what those voters view as secondary issues, you know, are things that are happening in Washington, D.C. and have nothing to do with their life. We cannot forget that it is more that those are the folks who determine the political fates of the world far more often than those of us who are so close to it, you know, 6 inches in front of our face, because we're all going to vote anyways. And I would just caution people, like, yes, it is crucially important that there is accountability for January 6th and that all of the information comes out. But we also need to make sure that we're talking to people where they are. And there are a lot of folks who January 6th, even if you sat down with them and talked to them for 10 minutes and you eventually got to that issue, they would be aghast at what transpired. That doesn't mean that it's what every voter in America is going to go out and cast their ballot on. And Democrats and progressives should be really careful about overplaying that hand, because it is not the only thing that matters.
Joe Sopecki, my fine guest. Joe, playing goalie in the state of Wisconsin is hardly a compelling campaign platform for Tony Evers, but that is what he effectively is. He's a goalie. He's there to stop bad legislation, stop bad stuff from happening. Joe, how should Tony Evers run his campaign? I know you've, you know, been a part of some big campaigns, not perhaps part of Tony's, at least not yet, but what would you do if you were advising that campaign?
Well, I think you got to do a couple of things, right? The first thing is you got to tell the story of all the bad stuff that you prevented from happening, right? That goalie narrative is one sort of leg of the stool, okay? Another really important leg of the stool is the great stuff that he's done, right? Reducing taxes for working families, getting the state to a place where we have the largest rainy day fund in history, investing more in K-12 public schools. These are all concrete accomplishments that Governor Tony Evers gets to take credit for. He should do that, right? And then the third part of the stool is disqualifying Clayfish or whoever the Republican nominee is and reminding them, in the case of Clayfish, this is her record, right? This is what happened in Wisconsin when she was on watch. We almost gave away $4 billion to try and lure Foxconn here. And what do we have to show for it? Bupkis. Thank God Tony Evers was able to renegotiate that deal, right? If it's Nicholson, that's a slightly different story. If it's Ramtin, it's another slightly. So you have to disqualify your opponent and tell that story. You have to talk about the positive accomplishments that the governor has achieved. And you have to tell the story about just how much worse things would be if he wasn't in the executive residence and the East Wing right now. Because let me tell you, folks, it would be worse. Republicans have fought him at every single step of this pandemic. They're the ones who made choices that have prolonged this and are the reason that we are still in it. And Tony Evers has been able to do a lot to make sure we're even in the place we are today, which is hopefully getting to a place where things are really good in the weeks and months ahead.
Joe, what if we see a wild card? And here's what I predict it might be. Adam Jarkow is running for the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. And we may not think he's the first choice, but he might be the choice of Republicans. He could very well win that primary. Jarkow actually is a legalized marijuana guy. And Rebecca Clayfish, if she thought it was politically expedient, she could be talked into, I believe, into advocating, you know, I'm the one that could actually shepherd legalizing marijuana through to the finish line. Tony Evers can't do it. We'd object. The Republicans would block it. But if I bring it to the table, I can deliver it. I think that would be a winning strategy, sadly, Joe.
There's only one candidate in the race who has proposed any legalization of marijuana, and that's Tony Evers. That's the story. People got to understand that. He proposed it in his budget. Republicans took it out.
Joe Sopecki, my fine guest. Come back. One more segment. We'll take your calls. 844-967-2789.